Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
But when I put my ass on Instagram, like, I forgot when I like did that for the first time, people are like, I can't believe you're doing this for free.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? I'm Eric Williams, and I just want to wish you a happy May. And did you know that May is also Jewish Heritage Month? Question mark. It is a thing, I just found out. George W. Bush enacted this in 2006. So how are you celebrating? I'm calling my mom and not having a single boundary respected. I'm also celebrating by sending out my pilot that I just wrote. It's a very funny, gay, Jewy script, and I'm so excited. I mean, you hear me talk about imposter syndrome a lot, and I'm finally able to be like, you know what? It's really fucking good, and I'm excited about it. So if you happen to know anyone in the biz who would want to read it, let a sister know. I want to tell you how excited I am for that Nick Norsha is on the podcast this week. He is so handsome and funny and sweet. And I got a few messages about like, oh my God, he's so hot. How'd you even talk to him? And that was offensive. Do you know how many hot people I've spoken to, babe? It's not my first rodeo. Oh, but it's such a great episode. He literally got me close to tears during the Whoopi Goldberg segment at the end. So you gotta wait for that one. You'll see what I mean. He also has just a crazy life. Really interesting stuff and such a good head on his shoulders about it all. So definitely stay tuned for the full episode. I will also tell you how thankful I am for the people who posted or tweeted or messaged me individually about the Netflix show Heartstopper. If you're not watching this goddamn show, I will force your eyes onto it. It's this sweet, sweet romantic comedy about two British boys in high school fall in love with each other. And yes, I am Charlie, the emotional, sensitive, just needing validation. And then, of course, I would be in love with the Nick. I think that's his name. The like ginger, blue-eyed, not really attainable guy. Oh, it's just, we're almost finished with it. I am close to tears watching it every single episode. I will be rewatching it and sending it to every gosh darn person I know. If you're queer, you need to watch it. If you're straight, you need to watch it. If you're queer and you want your family to understand you more, send it to them. I just cannot say enough things about it. So let's get into this week's episode with Nick Norsha. I added a new segment in here called Questions for Hot People halfway through, so look out for that. And of course, if you like the episode, do me a favor and write a 5-star review with why you liked it. We are going to be having some exciting guests and features for Pride Month next month, so I'm trying to do everything I can to let people know about this gay-ass podcast. If that means posting about the pod or sending it to a friend, whatever you do, it is so appreciated that you are here and you are listening. Follow on Instagram at gayasspodcast. Click the follow or subscribe button on your podcast platform during this cute intro music. And I hope you enjoy. Happy Jewish Heritage Month, my friends. L'chaim. Nick Norsha, you need to know that I've been following you on the internet for, I would say, at least 10 to 25 years. Nick, thank you for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. It is truly an honor and a thrill to have you here, and I'm so happy.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It is honestly a pleasure. You are an inspiration not only for gay internet, for hairy internet, for funny internet. You're just everything that I aspire to be and more. I want to ask you an opening question that's really controversial.
Oh, I love controversial.
So you recently, or in the past year, posted a video about you making cookies for your future investment banker husband.
Mm-hmm.
When you envision your one and only, is he in fact rich investment banker, or do we have any other sort of career or even any sort of what we think of your husband being?
I'm not set on investment banker. That's just like the stereotype. But I've always been drawn to like creatives, people that are very outgoing. But I'm like, when I think about like a relationship, so many successful relationships that I know of, I've actually never been in one, but like when I observe, they're typically like the yin and the yang, like they're complete opposites. So I'm like, well, I think I need like an analytical, like more like reserve type investment, like finance type person.
Cause you are more of the extrovert in the relation.
Right. So like an accountant would be another, or even like, a doctor, but I think of doctors as like, I think of Grey's Anatomy and I think of like a very personable, like, I don't know.
So what you need is a doctor with a bad bedside manner. You just need a doctor who is not the most fun to talk to on the surgery table. I actually love that for you. I do. So wait, so you are currently looking for the man and you said you've never been in a relation.
No, I've never. I'm 26. I've never been in a relationship.
So you are literally 4 years old. Oh, that's devastating. 26 is so. Okay, what's been the journey in the dating pool thus far? I mean, you post so many funny things about like your old straight self and like and I think if anybody listening doesn't follow you, which I'm sure they do, you might be considered straight presenting. I don't know if that is something that is will get me canceled to say, but. Like you also, it's just like also you own your gayness in such a cool way that I think it's kind of a beautiful combination. So that being said, did you come out long time ago, recently? What's the journey?
It feels like I came out recently. It's been 4 years. I came out when I was 22 and I was still at University of Georgia. And I was about to start my senior year of college. And that's when I came out. And one of the reasons why I haven't dated since then is like that. So like that last year I was at Georgia, which technically I stayed a fifth year. So that was 2 years, but I like came out during my senior year and I just was like an emotional wreck. And that's never a good time to date when you're like figuring out who you are. Mm-hmm. So by the time I was like ready to date was a year from my graduation. And I knew that if I fell in love, I would stay in Atlanta. And I knew I did not want to stay in Atlanta, like as a single man.
Sure.
Like, you know, so, and I knew like so many of the guys at UGA are just in Atlanta. Like, I just was like, I can't be in a relationship because I will like after graduation, just stay here. I want to go to New York or like San Francisco or LA, like one of the gay cities.
Yeah. Not
that Atlanta is a gay city, but I just like didn't want to be there.
You have no idea how topical this is because I famously got married in Atlanta and my in-laws are all, Matt is from Atlanta. They're all there. And I talked about it literally last week with the incredible Joe Dombrowski about like what
I love Joe.
Love. Like what cities would I live in? And Matt one day would like to live in Atlanta. And yes, is Atlanta a gay city? Absolutely. But it's the vibes are so different everywhere. And so with those vibes, when you said University of Georgia, I was like, that is, I think famously probably not the gayest world when you picture like any, like if you think of NYU, you're like, it's a fucking queer on every corner. UGA, were you like even friends with gay people before you were out?
No, which I'm sure we'll get into this, but like I like my last year there, I still pretty much my friend group was all straight. Now, however, my fifth year, so my fourth year is when I like came out, like I was like, I'm gay. And then one of my biggest regrets is all throughout life, I always wanted to be a cheerleader and I was like always athletic. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try out to be a cheerleader, but I'm at the University of Georgia, which is like a D1 school. But I was just like, you know what? Like what can happen? Like, what's the worst that can happen? I say no. And I'm not going to like beat myself up. And I tried out and I made the team. So my fifth year, I was a cheerleader. And when you're a cheerleader at a school, at a college, when you're a collegiate cheerleader, that like puts you on a pedestal in the gay world. Like, so basically my fifth year, every gay on campus knew who I was instantly because I was a cheerleader.
Holy wait, Nick, where is the TV show about the gay guy newly out being like a gay celeb at a UG? I'm buzzing that need. Cause like when you watch Bring It On, of course, like, this is the best absolutely movie of all time, and to see the gay version of Bring It On. Anyways, I cut you off. Continue.
So to answer your question on like how Georgia was, so I was there for a year, and I like made some gay friends, and I also was on this thing called Greek Grind, which was the Jewish sorority. I was one of the Greek Grind boys. So like, and every sorority picks one boy to be their team. So there's like 18 sororities or 17. So there's like 17 boys, and typically they're gay guys because it's guys who like to dance and like essentially like attention whores. And so like statistically, it's like 80% gay guys. So I met a lot of guys on campus through that because I did it 2 years in a row. And then so I had gay friends at Georgia, but I definitely like my circle was very straight.
Well, it sounds like you like really bloomed towards the end of school of like owning who you were and then kind of having an incredible cheerleading gay, like were all the cheerleaders hooking up with each other?
Okay, so this is so disappointing. At Georgia, and every school is different, of like, I think there was 10 guys. No, there was like, yeah, I think there was 10 guys on the team. Two of us were gay. I was distraught. I was like, these hotties, I cannot wait. We're going to have orgies. And nope, not a single. And the one that was straight, or the one that was gay, was in a committed long-term relationship. And I was like, cool. So yeah, like so absolutely no perks.
You had an orgy with you and about no one else.
Exactly.
Wow.
But once you're in like the SEC cheerleading world, like all the like the LSU cheerleaders, the Old Miss cheerleaders, like they all like know who you are. So then all of a sudden like you get all these DMs on Instagram and it's like, you know, you can make a trip over to Auburn or Alabama.
Did you make those trips?
I might have made a trip to Auburn.
How could you not? If like a sexy Alabaman, gay, gorgeous cheerleader wants you to come over, he'll do a full dismount to land on your face. Mm. Please and
exactly.
Thanks. Wow, I really do want to see the movie, the Gay Bring It On movie. Were you a Bring It On like growing up? Was that awakening for you?
No. So I never saw Bring It On until I was a cheerleader, and then they freaked out when I was like, I hadn't seen it, and they made me watch it.
Was that like a closeted, like you refused to watch it growing up?
No. It wasn't I refused to. It just never came around. I have an older sister, and most like chick flick things I saw because I watched with her. I would always like at school if I ever was caught like that I had watched like Legally Blonde or something. I was like, oh, my sister made me watch it. And like secretly, like I like asked her to watch it with me.
Gift for I think a gay boy to have a sister because then he can be like, no, I don't like Barbies.
You're like, Buttons, Pussycat Dolls is on my iPod because my sister and I share an account.
My sister put fucking Loosen Up My Buttons on my fucking iPod. Actually, I have three straight brothers, and it actually makes me feel a little proud of myself that I was still able to be as flaming as I was because I really didn't, I wasn't able to blame it on anyone except myself. Like,
that's huge.
Wow, Nick, this is really good. So, you do also have a funny video about a job interview you had, and because you are dyslexic, they said, so what are the odds of you wanting this job? And you're like, low. And they're like, wait, really? How low? You're like, zero. Are you diagnosed dyslexic?
Okay, this is controversial because I am not diagnosed dyslexic, but I have an asterisk. I need to explain. Okay, so when I was in sixth grade, I went from being homeschooled to a private Christian school. Mm-hmm. And when I moved from Georgia to Alabama, I have an August birthday. So my parents were like, well, let's just set you back anyway, because like I wasn't excelling in school and I was homeschooled. And so it was going to be harder going to private school. So I like already repeated sixth grade. Then the school was like, we want to set him back. My parents were like, no, not 2 years in a row. So then they're like, well, he needs to get diagnosed for like learning disabilities. And the teacher who specializes in it, like, was like, yeah, he definitely has dyslexia. He needs to go get like tested though. And my older brother is like a huge teaser, and I am a Cancer moon, super emotional, like cry very easily. My older brother is just like, was always like a tease, and like, just love, like he like, it got him like the biggest joy to just make me cry. Like he wasn't like a bully, but he just like, anyway. So around the dinner table one night, my mom was like, oh yeah, Nick has to get tested. Like, I guess she like shouldn't have spilt the tea, but was like, yeah, he might have dyslexia. My brother, being problematic, was like, basically, oh, Nick's Down syndrome, like started calling me all these names, like saying I was like the R word. And I start crying and I'm like, I can't have dyslexia. Like, no, no, no. So I realized what it was. And I, like a sixth grade year old me, not understanding that this was going to help me like with the SAT and the ACT. So when I got tested, when I was asked questions, I always never answered what I wanted to answer. And pick whatever the opposite was, or like when they would show me things, or like whatever I wanted to do, I didn't do. And they were like, he passed with flying colors. So I like tricked the system and to my own fucking demise, and I'm so pissed. But I know, like, so I just haven't gotten retested because it's like $500. And at this point, I kind of forgot I did that until like college when I like relearned about like learning disorders. And I was like, wait, I remember I was supposed to be dyslexic. And at that point I wasn't going to go to grad school. So I like didn't need to study for a big test.
Right. Anyway, you reverse psychology'd the dyslexia test.
Literally.
I have to tell you that the story about your brother, it's so relatable. I think when you get teased, because all kids tease, but as like a closet a gay person, it really does hit in a different way. And like you being this emotional young person and getting made fun of in that way, it's like it probably hits so deep. And I wonder, do you think like now when you look back, do you wish you had like done anything differently to either stand up for yourself or like communicate in any way of like, if from what you know now, would you have acted differently?
Yes, I would have, just because I would have stuck up for myself. And then I mean, at the time, I would have been too scared to be like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. Because I, not just my brother, but like anyone, like the guys at school, you know, like I would, for science class, like I would bake a cake for a project for like making the cells. And everyone else like had this two-dimensional thing. And I came in with this like bunk cake that I put on tubes and like cut it through. And it was like, my teacher actually told my mom, she's like, Nick was supposed to do the project. And she was like, he did it. But like, just like stuff like that. Like I was always very creative and artistic. Mm-hmm. But then whenever I showed that, I was called gay by my brother and by the boys at school. And so then I like suppressed it, 'cause I was like, I'm not gay. And so I kind of just like never really, I try to like hold back all that creativity or like all that, or like acting. I love to like perform and stuff like that, dance and sing. And that was like gay. And so like little Nick, I wish I could go back and stick up for little Nick, like right now, because that's who I wanted to be. But I'm basically living the way little Nick wanted to live.
And amen to that. It's why that segment on Drag Race, when they're always like, what would you say to little Nick right now? And then they say, like, it's always so powerful, because no matter what, if you're like gay, queer, or otherwise, I think you do wish you could say things to your younger self that would tell them they're on a path that is actually good and not to worry about that path. Does your brother have an opinion about your videos now?
No, he's supportive. He's apologized. When I came out, he apologized, like literally. Oh my God, it was great. I mean, everyone feels so bad at like all my best high school friends. When I came out, like I didn't make them feel bad. They just like naturally felt bad because they like would call me gay and shit. And then they're like, oh my God, I had no idea. And then, you know, of course they'd be like, I hope I never said anything. And I'm like, you did. You definitely did. And I remember the date.
I'm here to confirm, you know, April 24th.
Literally.
In a way, we wish we were never teased and all those things. But in a way, it's nice when that's the reaction versus like, I'm never going to talk to you again. Like we much prefer the like, oh, fuck, I must have said some really shitty things. You're like, yeah, you did do that. But did it change your relationship with the straight friends, either like in high school or from college when you came out?
No, it didn't. It didn't change it. It made it slightly awkward because I went to a private Christian school. So my like best friends from high school are like very religious.
Oh.
So coming out to my high school best friends and my college best friends, and like not just like be like, my college best friends are heathens, but but like it was easier because they weren't like, who were they to judge, because like they're doing X, Y, and Z, you know? Mm-hmm. But then my high school best friends, they're like living in Huntsville, Alabama, like married with kids, like living the life that are like, going to church on Sundays. And I'm like, okay, they like, not that they should be judging at all, but like, I'm like, they are living that life. And like, it's a little harder to be like, oh yeah, I'm a homosexual. And we know, Lord knows what we are raised to believe about homosexuals. So that was.
Especially like in Huntsville, Alabama, where we love and whatever. I'm not going to fucking dance around it. There's like so many people in parts of the country, including the Midwest where I'm from, including like upstate New York, including the South. There's many places. But like when you think about a devout religious person in the South, like, yeah, I'm sure that it's probably a bit of mental math they have to do because they're being told by leaders that it's not okay.
It's complicated.
It's complicated, starring Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin. It really is. Well, listen, Nick, I want to get into the podcast question, which famously asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? Nick Norsha, who do we blame, babe?
I'm going to blame my parents, and mainly my mom, in the sense of what I was raised to watch as a kid. And it like backfired on them.
Okay, oh, so
let me explain.
I love this.
So again, I grew up like homeschooled, then private Christian school. Mm-hmm. And like a homeschooled kid is like a very sheltered kid, right? Like your parents homeschool you typically, unless like you're like a celebrity, because they don't want you to get like the evolution of education. They don't want you to get the sex ed. Like that's why a lot of parents like homeschool it, or send them to Christian school. And so growing up, I like when I tell you pop culture pre like when I had access to the internet, I don't know anything. So like pre 2008, I like, no.
Wait, that's no, why no. You never watched Bring It On.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes
sense. There's so many things I still have yet to see. But anyway, all that to say is like growing up, I wasn't allowed to watch SpongeBob because my parents thought he was gay. I wasn't allowed to watch like Rugrats, pretty much anything on Cartoon Network.
Rugrats,
they were too mean to each other. And like Arthur couldn't watch that. And
Angelica Pickles is a fucking bitch. Angelica Pickles is a fucking bitch.
Continue. I could watch like the classic Disney, like the Lion Kings and like all those classic Disney films I was allowed to watch. But growing up, I watched what my mom put on the TV for me. It was Shirley fucking Temple.
Well, that'll do it.
And boy, did little Nick love him some Shirley Temple. I was like, animal crackers and must. I mean, it's why I'm probably like this. I love musical theater so much. And I would watch that and like Singing in the Rain, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, like all these old classic like movies. And so like I just remember being a little kid watching Seven Brides for Seven Brothers and being like so horny because there was all these hunky burly men. But like Shirley Temple made me like this like musical loving, dancing, singing boy.
Nick, and then, the answer is, I want you to know how good this answer is. I love that your mom, instead of making you into like an adult straight male, she turned you into a 65-year-old ass queen, fucking
literally
Broadway loving.
Yeah, with my like tap Judy shoes. Garland. Judy? Yeah. Like, come on, baby.
Wait, so I'm a very big musical theater stan. I, growing up, only wanted to be on Broadway, literally went to school, and then like I graduated and I did some musical theater, and now I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let them do that, and then I'm going to very much love it. I'm going to New York, actually, and we're seeing Funny Girl on Broadway, and we're seeing Into the Woods that Sarah Bareilles is in. Neil Patrick Harris is in it. Heather Headley plays the witch. Who else is it? It's like it's gonna be such a stacked cast, and so I just want to honor you by saying,
oh my god,
be jealous, bitch.
I'm so jealous right now.
So you watch the classics like Singing in the Rain,
Sound of Music.
Oh yeah. Do you, what is your, do you still enjoy, like, do you, like, for example, the Wicked movie going to be in two parts. Do you have a reaction to that? Have you seen Wicked? Do you have a modern love for musicals?
I have a modern love for musicals. I have not, or I just saw Wicked on Broadway this January. So like just knew, like I've like, in, I knew the songs in high school and college. So
what did you think of it in January? Did you like the show?
I mean, I cried, like, obviously, like, it was amazing. Can you,
like, the end of Act One, Defying Gravity, the blackout, I'm sure you had the gay chills. Like,
yeah, no, and I actually, like, I knew, you, obviously, with musical theater, if you just, like, listen to the soundtrack, you pretty much got the, like, plot, but I didn't realize, like, how, like, good the evil, the Wicked Witch is, and, like, how much of a bitch, what's her name?
Glinda.
Glinda, like, she's a fucking cunt. Like, really, we hate her.
Glinda,
like, oh my god.
You know, someone might argue that it's just the role she was put in, but no, she's a monster. She treats Elfie in bad ways. But I'm going to be honest with you. I saw the show. I was obsessed with it growing up, and the national tour came through St. Louis, and I was in eighth grade, and my parents got me tickets to see it. And I was just so listening to the music, but the plot went over, like, all like the intricacies of the plot. I still did not understand a damn thing after that show. I was like, I'm 14 years old. I'm just thinking about Elphaba's vibrato. Cut two, I saw it on Broadway, like, not long before, like, a few months before you did. It was, like, October of last year. And it was the first time I actually understood the plot points. And that show clearly has been running on Broadway for, like, however many years. And it is, like, such a well-oiled machine. There's a reason why it's done so well. There's a reason why the movie is gonna be hopefully great. But do fingers crossed. Do we think the two parts is a disaster?
I mean, I just hate, like, I need closure. Even though I know it's gonna happen, I just, like, I know I'm gonna watch the first one, love it, and then it's gonna end and I'm going to be like, are you kidding me? I'm going to have to wait.
I do have some inside scoop that I haven't told anyone that someone who I know that is in the biz confirmed to me that it does end with Defying Gravity, which is like probably not a big reveal, but that because of like the, that's how the first act ends. But I guess what we're going to experience is Cynthia Erivo destroying Defying Gravity. We get the goosebumps. And then we actually, wait, maybe this is going to be okay because a lot of people say that the first act is actually the only good act and the second act doesn't have as many good songs. I don't know. But then
that's going to make it hard for the second movie.
Well, the second,
because then it's like, you like, well, how can you get excited about going to see Wicked without hearing Defying Gravity? Like, you wouldn't go to the play. You wouldn't go to the play after intermission. Like, no one would do that.
Yeah, you only see the second act. That is a good point. Do you think they're going to have a different title for Wicked? Like, what is Wicked 2 is the title going to be?
I don't know.
There were some jokes on Twitter that were very funny. First, it was Wicked 2, Back in the Habit, which, of course, is Sister Act 2's title. But then they went from that Wicked 2, Bach in the Habit, as in the character of Bach, which we love. I can't wait to see what tacky name to come up with a sequel for Wicked 2.
Probably gonna disappoint us all.
Ruby slipper not for dinner. All right, I'll work on it. I'll workshop it. Wow, so I love that you blame your mom for showing you the gayest ass musicals growing up as home. Was the homeschool reason because they didn't want you to know about Evolution?
Oh yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just Evolution, but it was like, it's that mentality that like secular world's very evil and like you need to control like what goes into the brains of the young people.
Yeah, and listen, I'm incredibly interested in this world. I am only asking because I really think it's so interesting. I mean, zero disrespect, but if you don't mind, I want to ask a few more questions.
No, I'm an open book.
So does your brother believe in evolution?
Which one? My older brother?
Your older brother. How do your parents feel about gay marriage?
Not in support of it. So my mom died when I was 17, so I can't talk to her about it, which sucks. Sorry. Because like, that's the one thing is like, she was my mom. If I could like make a movie character, my mom, or like for people that hadn't met her, she's literally like Maria on Sound Music. Because she was so religious, she like would have wanted to be a nun, but she also like loved kids so much, and all she wanted to do was like be a mom, and was like a very loving, and she like would sing all the time. Like growing up, like we would sing in the car. Like she was just very much like that singy type, like very lively. I mean, I'm essentially a gay, like not very religious, like vulgar version of her.
Yes. So what you're painting is a really beautiful picture of not the cold religious identity, mm-hmm. but more of like, it's about the love and the connection. It just happens to be a part of a religious sect of the world.
Yeah. And like in my head, because I can't like change, like I know how her stance was with gay marriage, like her death,
right?
But because she didn't, you know, like obviously have me, or like I don't think she had very many close friends that were gay. A lot of people, it's just what they were raised to believe. And if you're raised to believe that gay people are like an abomination or God, you know, like all this stuff, like you just believe it because you're not challenged. And so then once you have like a gay kid, that's when you're kind of like, that's when, you know, like, and so she didn't get that chance. So like in my head, I would think that, you know, maybe she would like come to terms with it, but who knows?
I think that's totally a great point. And to support that, my parents are, interestingly enough, in a group of friends who are they're all living in Missouri, in St. Louis. It's not, again, similar to Atlanta or Huntsville, like not a very known to be like a queer area. And randomly, multiple of their closest friends all have children who are gay. And not only gay, two sets of my parents' friends have children who have come out as non-binary. And since this has happened, my parents have been so much better about pronouns and about just like learning more. And just like you're saying about being exposed or knowing people you love that are a part of these communities, it completely shifts how you perceive it. And I think that is 100% spot on, which is why it is so important of course, for like, yes, representation, like movies and TV shows and shit, but also just like to know people and to put a face to what any type of community thinks like gay people are going to burn in hell, whatever. It's like, oh, actually, like this Nick guy is fucking awesome and there's no reason for him to burn in hell besides the Satan videos that he makes. That is an abomination.
Right. Now that would be a reason.
And that is a reason. Wow. I do think another reason you might burn in hell is because you posed for a picture with Newt Gingrich when you were 16 years old.
I did do that. That did happen.
That did happen.
He visited my church.
Oh, is that what happened?
He did. Oh my God. First Redeemer in Cumming, Georgia. It's this like big church that is very political. And like the pastor like wrote the Bible and it's called the Patriots Bible.
Sure.
And
sure.
Just has like little bits that he just like stories that he put in. Like,
it's always like the South will rise again.
Literally. Oh, it's so, I mean, we had so many like GOP people come and see it. Like, I can't even.
That is so fucked up to me how political religion can be, where it's like, haven't we heard of the whole separation of church and state? Meanwhile, Gingrich is touring churches.
Yeah. It's frustrating. I mean, whenever I have an argument with like my friends that are religious and very conservative, they always throw in typically always abortion and then gay marriage, which is like, they like kind of like quiet when they talk to me about their gay marriage. But I'm like, okay, but when Jesus was on earth, if you know, like the religion, I'm like, what did he preach? Because that would have been what is most important to the religion. It's like, you know, when Jesus was there, what was he preaching? Mm-hmm. And did he bring up abortion? Did he bring up gay marriage? Did he bring up any of that? No. What did he bring up? Like feeding the hungry, the elderly, the poor, like helping these like refugees in the Bible. All that was like what his message was, like love, love, love. And that is what like the Democrat Party is trying to do. And I'm like, and it's like, they're like, no, it's because of our faith. We have to vote against homosexualities, gay marriage and abortion. I'm like, okay, but we want to build a wall. We want to like not have universal health care. We want to like do all these things.
Anyway. It is so interesting. When you think about yourself, like, do you want to get married one day?
Yeah.
And so do you think like when you envision your wedding, does it ever cross your mind about like what it would be like to invite religious people that are close to you?
Mm-hmm. I don't actually know if some of my friends would come.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I don't know if you've seen like the Colton Underwood documentary, but when he had his pastor's conversation, I got a lot of that. Like, so we support you in the sense of like, we love you as a human, but we can't tell you that like we love this life for you.
Right.
If that makes sense. And so to them, if they came to a gay wedding, that would be them celebrating gay marriage. And so it's one of those things where, and like, again, these aren't like necessarily my closest friends that I'm worried about, but like my friends that I went to high school with, like a lot of them, I'm like, I don't know if they would come. And like my football coach, like, I don't know if he, like, I like love him. He's like a dad. He's like a second dad to me, but like he wouldn't officiate it. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a pastor.
Oh, wow, man.
I mean, he hasn't told me that, but I'm just like assuming that.
Right. This is also, I give you a lot of credit for celebrating yourself in such a way that the world wants you to, while knowing, of course, like that some of the people that you know from where you come from is just so different from where you've landed now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, as we continue on, I want to go to a segment of this podcast that I've never done before. And it's actually a new segment that I've called very controversially. It's called Questions for Hot People. This is a bunch of questions I have for a hot person. And Nick Norsha, you are fucking hot. Many hot people get the question of, would you consider an OnlyFans? So I'm not asking you this, but I'm asking if you were to consider an OnlyFans, what do you say to people that ask you that question?
I pretty much say, like, when people are like, oh, you should do an OnlyFans, I'm like, I'm already opening myself up to like the internet and the criticisms and like all that stuff, and like already having that like mental toll. And to do it naked would only allow more criticism, and that makes it sound like I have a small dick. But you know what I mean? I'm just saying,
of
like,
course,
all the judgment or like whatever. And I'm like, it's not worth it, because it's not like if I like was, you know, broke and like needed the money, like, yeah, it would be a little bit more enticing, but like, I'm doing fine. I don't need, like, yes, I could make more money, but like, it's not worth it for me. You know, I'm like, do I do it? So I'm just like, I'm not going to do it.
You're already an abomination in so many people's minds. Why would you like go full?
But when I put my ass on Instagram, like, I forgot when I like did that for the first time, people are like, I can't believe you're doing this for free. And I was like, I mean, I could, but then I would feel bad if I like didn't OnlyFans, people subscribed and I just like every month did like an ass pic.
Showed a cheek. Yeah.
I just would feel bad taking your money for that.
I don't think I could post ass on the internet. So I think you're brave. That's brave. Okay. Many hot people think that they feel great about themselves all day, every day. Nick, what is your biggest insecurity? Physical insecurity.
My hairline.
You and me both, babe. Nick, that hairline, yep. I wish I had your hairline.
The receding hairline.
Are you doing anything for preventative measures?
No, I don't really know if they're like, I haven't researched the preventative measures. I like thought about doing the pills that they have.
If you are actually concerned, which by the way, I think your hairline looks very, very robust and gorgeous. So I'm just saying that. If you do feel concerned, my biggest regret is I wish I'd gone on Propecia, the pill, earlier. The dermatologist was like, you might not get a boner. And I was like, then I don't want to do it. Cut to, most people are fine. So if you feel concerned about that, I'm a very big Propecia proponent. All it does is just like stops your hair from losing. Anyways, interesting. You're insecure about your hairline, which I did. That video was funny where you say like when you are sucking dick, then all people see is your hairline.
Oh my God. Right? Like I literally, when I found that out, I was like, oh my God. And that is when I get out of the shower, or like when I'm like, or like jump in the pool and get out. If I don't touch my hair when it gets out, you know how it like does it, and it even looks like it's coming back here sometimes, just because it like your hair splits. And
Getting out of the shower is a daily battle. It's really you're just being confronted.
And you don't like side pictures because like it just gets all.
Oh my God, Nick! You listen to this. I got a hair. So I, you know, like when you don't have a good haircut person, it's like very, it's very vulnerable. And so when we moved, I did not have a hair person in LA, and so I would go to a new person, like literally every haircut would try a new person. And this one guy, he turned my back to the mirror the whole time. He was cutting my hair and I couldn't see a darn
thing.
Terrifying. And so I was sitting there minding my own. The next thing he knows, he shows me it at the end, and it was much shorter than I thought it would ever be. And as someone who has hairline insecurity, I was like, is this my worst nightmare? And so I leave, and I say to Matt, I was like, this is so short. Am I okay? Do I look insane? And he was like, no. And his no, it was not a confident no.
It was
and
not
so,
a reassuring no.
The reason why I bring it up is because I was just like very much panicking. I go to my friend's house and she takes a few pictures because I was visiting her son. There was a side picture and I deleted those immediately, went to my recently deleted folder, deleted those immediately. And then I would never go to this man again. And it was tragedy upon tragedy, and I did not get a haircut for like 2 months because I needed to grow that shit out. All this to say, I think I found my haircut person a few weeks ago, and I just want to tell you, I'm so, so thrilled. Okay, I want to ask another question for hot people. My next question for hot people is, as a hairy-bodied stunner, have you always enjoyed your body hair, or has it been something you had to grow to love?
I had to grow to love.
Did you shave it up until like 2 years ago?
No. When it was coming in though, it took a while for it like full peck to be hairy. A lot of times it was like, oh my God. Like I remember like ninth grade me, I was like nipple hair and like happy trail and it looked so bad. And then it started, you know, it was like this patch and, but I just was kind of like, I didn't really know how it felt. And like, again, back in the early 2000s to like mid the Channing Tatum body, like that was like it, like the Abercrombie Fitch body. Yeah. Like that was like hairless. Like, you know, all I saw like the hot bodies were like these hairless jocks, G.I. Joe looking guys. And so, I feel like it's very Tom Finland back when hair was like hot back in the 80s and the 90s. And then I think it kind of went into like this hairless, like mole rat look. I'm just kidding. but I'm clearly not salty for people at that time. Anyway, so part of that was it. And then, but I've shaved it just cause I love like growing out a mustache, growing out a beard, like changing my, I just love like changing my look. So sometimes I'm just like, if I shave my chest, I just feel like a completely different person. So sometimes I do it just for like, to feel something.
Shaving to feel something. Is that the name of this episode? It might be.
Literally.
When's the last time you shaved your chest?
It was when, it would have been during the pandemic. It was like August 2020, I think. I have a photo back then where I have like half my chest shaven and half not. And then I finished it off with like it shaven. That was the last time I shaved it.
Wow. My next question for hot hairy people is, do you find yourself attracted to someone without a lot of body hair, with, or in general, what do you gravitate towards physically?
I like both. Like I dated a guy that had like completely like no body hair, and I was like totally into that. And then I dated guys that have like are hairier than me. But I would prefer body hair, but it's not like it's a turn off if they don't have it. The one thing I don't love, which I have it, I just have to shave it, is back hair.
Mm. I mean, tail as old as time. When you have a lot of hair in the front, you got to deal with the hair other places.
Yeah.
Do you are you a waxer? Are you a self shaver? What do you do?
Fortunately, it's only like here on me, so I can get it with a razor. And then it's like, I don't really mind it. It's like right above my crack, my very TMI. Bit there, but that patch doesn't really bother me. It's like, but it's every now and then I have like the patches, like, you know, like,
yeah right, of course. Wait traps, do you remember a very big moment for me is I think it was Nick Jonas. There was a picture of him in some magazine and he had that lower back hair like above his ass. That was like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I think like all of the hairy people were like, I feel like I see myself in the media for the first time.
I'm represented
in Nick Jonas's lower back hair. That a lot of people get turned on by that. I mean, it's crazy how many people, I've said this before, that one of the first times I accepted my body hair was when I hooked up with someone who was super into body hair. Like I thought for a while I was just really gross. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. There is a reason for a season. There are people who like the hair. Like there is people who are super into it. And now if I were to shave my entire body, I would literally receive divorce papers. Like Matt would be so fucking pissed if I shaved my body.
That is so funny. Oh, that's so cute though.
I know. Is it? It's also kind of criminal. So let's see here. I want to get to another podcast question, which I gotta ask you, Nick. If the world were ending and you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Okay, I feel like someone's gonna come for me and say that she's not a character actress, and I will fight you on this. I will save Dolly Parton.
Oh, Nick, no one said that before. I think that's really inspired. Let's unpack. Dolly Parton is... I am one to think that you can make a case for anyone being a character actress. So let's talk about Dolly. She is, of course, a larger-than-life personality. One might consider her to like play mostly the same character.
Herself
has so many facets. I mean, so, and also
in and of herself, she's a character
in and of herself. And also like character actresses famously wear wigs, and we're not going to say that Dolly is her own hair, right? That's not her hair.
No, she wears wigs.
It's not her hair. It's not her tits. It's, but also she's so open about how she changes her appearance. I think this is a great answer, Nick. I think kind of like takes us back to your Southern roots. It also into your gay presence. Dolly is such a gay icon, which I know the word is overused, but she is. And she created a vaccine. So
you're literally she's like a philanthropist. She's just, she's everything. And I love Dolly because she's just, she has such a unique like hold on her fans and like just like society as a whole, because, like not to get like too like emotional or like deep, but like my grandma, who I do not speak to because she's the most homophobic person I've ever met, have not seen her since I came out, loves Dolly Parton. Me, a flaming homosexual, loves Dolly Parton. And like she lives in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, so I grew up going to like Dollywood all like, so that's why it's very nostalgic. I get like nostalgia when I like see Dolly, because it's like I grew up like in that world. Every Christmas we would go there. And so like now that I kind of like got annexed from that, But then, like, Dolly's still, like, but she's, like, she's the glue that bonds my family together.
Dolly is the gift that keeps on giving. I was actually going to ask if you've been to Dollywood, and clearly you have many times.
I love Christmas, and they do Christmas, like, lights everywhere. Like,
I can only imagine. I can only imagine a very Dolly Christmas. Do you know how old she is? Because I just looked it up. I want you to guess.
Isn't she 73?
She's 76. Very close. Very 76. Close. Okay. 76 years young. And the fact that she has such a gorilla grip on pop culture as a 76-year-old woman, like, we love you, Dolly Parton. Thank you for being the one thing that bonds homophobic people and the gays.
But bless her heart for having to, like, deal with that, like, fan base, you know? Like, can you imagine going to a concert?
Truly. I mean, like, what an interesting cross-section of people, like, screaming homos and then the people who think they deserve zero rights.
Like, the GOP, like, Trump-loving people, like, in her concerts and us as well.
Yeah, I don't know how she handled that. That is a miracle in and of itself. A Christmas miracle, if you will.
Truly.
One thing I do want to ask you about is one of your videos I really love is how you say that plants are the new pets, pets are the new kids, and kids are the new exotic animals because you got to be crazy or rich to have them. First of all, are you a plant gay? Are you good with the plants?
I thought I was. First of all, I did steal that from my friend Justin. He posted a thing on his story, and then that day I made that video. So wow. I did not come up with that line. But I love plants, and I love doing a garden. If I could be a Martha Stewart living in the Hamptons, I would do it immediately, which is kind of why I need that. Going back to the investment banker husband, you know,
yes.
Like everything full circle now.
Full circle.
I just would love to have a garden. Anyway, so I love plants. I love plants that produce something that I can eat.
Yeah.
I have two plants in my room. I'm planning on getting some more, but my fiddle leaf, however you say it, he's dying. And I am trying to not make him die, and it's not working.
Sure. So. Those are tough. I don't know a darn thing. Matt is really good with plants, but I've seen how hard it is. And when you envision your Martha Stewart life, do you have do you have your own children running around the gardens?
It's so hard because I love kids. No. I love babies. I love babies and cute kids. And then once they get no longer cute and they're just annoying and hormonal, I'm do not come back when we can get drunk.
I know.
Essentially from fourth grade to senior year of high school, I just want to ship them to the school.
I know. I think about that too, because I love babies more than words can say. I'm obsessed with holding the baby, or when they get to 2 years old and they start to in their walk, and so cute. But then envisioning when I have kids and dealing with an angry teenager, I'm and also to parent with someone else and deal with that. We all deal with things in such different ways. I know Matt and I will love our children and be good parents, but I'm also know we're gonna fight about I'm gonna want to overshare and over talk, and he's gonna want to under talk, and so finding that in the middle is gonna be tough. But I maybe or just we'll send them off to boarding school in Connecticut and call it a day.
And then also what if your kids, which is as a good parent, if your kids' interests aren't yours, which is you should support that, but say your kid wants to be a cheerleader, then you have to be a cheer mom.
Yeah.
But what if you don't want to be a cheer mom? Or what if you're
like
theater
nightmare.
Or sports,
exactly.
Whatever it is, it becomes your life too. They want to do travel baseball. Do you want to spend your weekends going to different cities and watching your son play baseball? That's scary.
Our worst nightmare is raising a sports kid. They're but I want to play lacrosse. And we're but what about the tap shoes? I mean, it's I do not. And again, if they happen to be straight, I know that they didn't choose that life and that we support them in any of their hetero endeavors. Nick Norsha, I want to thank you for coming on this podcast, but I do want to close out with a question that you might not have an answer to because you didn't watch pop culture until you were 22. What, Nick, do you have an answer for? What is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
I knew you were going to. Okay, so listen, I did my due diligence because I do not come on a podcast that I've not listened to before. And I watched Joe's and I was like, okay, I don't have any. I have Lion King would be my answer. And then I watched Nick and Eric's because I was just so I watched three and you asked all three. I said, last night I watched Sister Act and Sister Act 2.
You're joking, Nick.
Listen, I had to I had to be up at 7:30, and I was up till 2 a.m. because I watched Sister Act. It ended at midnight, and I was like, I can't not watch Sister Act 2 because I've heard it's better, and I loved Sister Act. I was up till 2 a.m. last night watching those two movies so that I could tell you that Sister Act 2 is my favorite Whoopi Goldberg movie.
I could literally cry right now. Oh my God, Nick, you were up so late doing such an act of charity to the world. The more people that have seen Sister Act 2, the better this world is. And Nick, you are one of the gorgeous parts of this planet.
I do not know how that movie has not been in my life this long. Like, and also, my roommates who are like 35 and 36, 36 and 33.
So dead ancient,
yeah, ancient, but they like grew up with like the 90s, 80s, and 90s like pop culture things, and they when they realized that I'd never seen The Birdcage, Dead to Me, Death Becomes Her,
yes,
First Wives Club, like, yes, they sat me down like during the pandemic, they sat me down, and one day we literally watched like, what's the one, As If movie,
like Clueless,
the pre-Mean Girls, Clueless, like all those like classic, we literally sat down and had like boot camp, and I just watched like all these.
I love your roommates so much. I'm so touched that you watch the movies. I think your answer is 100% correct that two is the best, and I cannot tell you how much that has made my day, how much that has made my week. You are such an angel to have watched those movies and to do your work, and I'm so
thank you.
I'm so glad you love Sister Act 2. Oh, I mean, especially with like all the churchy shit and like the.
I got emotional during the Ode to Joy because I knew every word, and like I knew like it was like I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing.
Oh my God, that is so fucking magical, and I'm just really breathing in this moment. Oh, Nick, thank you for coming on this podcast and being such a gem and a joy. Where can people follow you?
My username is the same on all three, Twitter, Instagram, and at TikTok. Nick_Norcia. That's Norcia.
And everyone, you gotta follow Nick for the funny, for the hottie, for the hairy, and for everything and all of it. Thank you so much, Nick. I cannot wait to hopefully reconnect. Maybe we'll do a Sister Act 2 themed party, and you're totally gonna be invited.
Please. Thank you. I would love it. Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
A joy.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.